This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
8:15 on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Who knows what's going to happen at 8:30? Who knows what's going to happen at 3:30? I think it's kind of silly to talk about what happens at 8:35 and 8:40 and 9 o'clock and who's reacting to what, because to quote this investor, this Wall Street analyst, clients are confused. Even professional traders are struggling right now with all the constant changes related to the tariff shifts. There's a change every 15 minutes. A headline every 15 minutes, it's a bit scary. With that, we're joined by our friend Jose Bautista, professor of economics at Xavier University. How are you, doctor?
Fine, thank you, Tommy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the time with us. When it comes to, and I mentioned this before you came on it, we are on a roller coaster. Like it or not, you can enjoy the ride or you can close your eyes. Either way, it's not like it used to be in Washington and Wall Street and the president. And first of all, I saw this coming. I got a lot of money out of the market and put it into something safer because I didn't know what was going to happen with tariffs. For people that have not done that, that are worried about their 401k, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that they should go and consult with their financial advisors, because they're the ones who keep close tabs on movements in the market. There are different types of investors. They're those short-term investors, you know, who are looking to take a look at the market, and then when there's a spike, upward spike in the market, to seize upon the capital gains there. And then, you know, they're the, you know, long run investors, those who are looking for, you know, a comfortable nest egg, you know, in the future. So, you know, you can always be cautious, but again, it all depends upon, you know, what type of investor. Those who are looking in the short run definitely are going to do, you know, wise decisions like you did, and, you know, play it safe and liquidate part of your portfolios.
So from the economist standpoint, as it relates to what's going on Wall Street, sometimes people see, you know, the red numbers at the end of the day and they think it's the end of the world. They see green numbers, they think happy days are here again. The truth is often in between. Explain, if you will, what's been happening on Wall Street the last 2 days. And it is a market, so the likelihood of it coming back with people swooping in to get bargains, and take us through all of that, Professor, if you can.
Well, again, when the stock market goes down, obviously there's a sell-off, right? Because again, demand is increasing for the stocks. That's more of an interpretation of a short run expectation that profitability is going to sag in the short run. Now, you know, just take a look at the numbers right now. There's a 370 point increase in the Dow. Mm-hmm. All right. So again, you know, our happy days here again. Again, it goes back to this volatility. What people really don't the conclusion that many analysts are going to, because it makes headlines, is that this talk about Taft is only relegated to the supply side of the economy. Keep in mind, what people forget that the U.S. economy is driven, 68% of GDP is household spending. And until we see the reaction of the actual reaction, not the expectation, not consumer confidence, the actual response of the household sector to policy decisions, then we can see, you know, the impact of on the entire economy.
Traditionally, is there a correlation that can be made between Wall Street and household spending, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily, because, again, Wall Street, again, the movement in the stock market is dependent upon expectations of future profits of these of the entire private sector. Household spending obviously depends on current rates of inflation, the amount of disposable income, the amount of which is what economists call real income. And so, again, there, obviously, you know, if one sees one's portfolio, tanking, and one is near retirement, obviously the day-to-day consumption, or personal consumption expenditures are going to vary, as opposed to someone who is, you know, in the prime of their earning years and looking to, even add to their portfolios and increase their savings at this time.
Everything is looked at through a political prism. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Yesterday, social media buzz. People that favor President Trump say, yeah, there's pain, but there's a long game being played here. We're going to all benefit when it's over. People that are against him saying that, and a Republican saying that the economy was destroyed in a matter of weeks. I don't think either one of those is true. I don't think we know yet, and we'll talk with Professor Batista when we come back about at what point do we find out if these plans are working or not, or if they have any difference or not. 821 Traffic Now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL 825, talking to our friend Jose Batista, professor of economics at Xavier University. So, Professor, the Wall Street is not the economy. Stock market is not the economy. There are a lot of different things that make up the economy. When it comes to tariffs, when it comes to inflation, when it comes to prices, consumer spending, at what point, first of all, where are we now, and at what point will we know where we're either headed or are going or are?
The United States economy is a very resilient, probably the most resilient economy in the world. What these tariffs are aimed to do is not to be a long-run economic policy. It's really aimed towards creating an incentive for manufacturing to return to the United States. This is a problem that goes back some 40 years, when back in the 1980s, U.S. manufacturers, because of changes in technology, essentially gave up the idea of revamping the plant and equipment to foreign manufacturers. Perfect example is the automobile industry, where Japan was using robots, U.S. car makers weren't, and so therefore it took a while until we lost our competitive edge in the automobile industry to the Japanese. So the idea is to return manufacturing here to the United States. Now, today, I just saw in the Wall Street Journal, they said that the impact of these tariffs are going to be mainly on, they said, three particular items: canned goods, automobiles, and washing machines. Now, again, if you bring it back to how are these all going to be impacted, again, you have to take a look at how will households respond to this? And as there's a movement, a greater, more conscientious effort on individuals to move away from processed foods, then again, the impact on canned goods is probably going to decrease. In the automobile industry, it's going to be up to the U.S. automobile manufacturers to rev up their marketing and to demonstrate that U.S. manufactured products are a whole lot more superior, economy-wise and, again, efficiently operational-wise. In terms of washing machines, well, that's a very competitive market, and so therefore, the buyer will always go to the will always gravitate to the more why is their price for their money? So again, a lot of it, you know, comes full circle. A lot of factors are interdependent on other factors.
When it comes to labor costs, and we'll wrap it up with this because we're almost out of time, is there any way manufacturing returns to the United States without the price of products going up because of what you would have to pay for labor, unless it's some kind of robotic thing, which would mean there are no jobs being created, it's just manufacturing? Take me through that quickly, Professor, if you can.
Yeah, very quickly, a lot of that depends on the increase in productivity. As AI becomes more and more part of the business culture, we're going to see greater amounts of productivity in terms of the labor market. Greater productivity will result in greater output. Greater output means that prices on, you know, wages don't have to necessarily go up as astronomical as they are when you had a limited amount of human capital in the labor force.
Which means the price will not go up, but that doesn't mean more jobs if manufacturing comes back. Am I hearing that right?
To the extent to which, again, there's still some uncertainty in terms of the usage of AI, then again, there's a lot of uncertainty there. We're still not sure.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time as always. Jose Batista, Professor of Economics at Xavier. When we come back, we're going to talk about AI and powering AI and how much power these things use and who's going to wind up paying for it. 8:30, time for WWL First News.